We all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations. Hey, friends, and happy Monday, September 20th. Thank you for tuning into Divine Exhortations. I hope everyone had a wonderful and restful past weekend. I had an incredible weekend, lots of celebrating and just enjoying being with people, you know, with this whole social distancing and being locked up in your home. It was just nice to be out with friends and family. And so I'm grateful for that. And I want to share with you all today a special guest. He has many names. People call him the professor. They call him bishop. They call him minister. But I call him my husband. And I'm just so elated to have Daniel Harper joining me today on this podcast. Babe, say hi to my friends.
Hi to my friends.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. And I'm just excited to hear what you are going to share today. But before we get into your exhortation, can you just share with the listeners just how you came to know Christ, how you came to follow him, and or how you got saved, that whole process for you?
Sure, I definitely can do that. As you know, I grew up in church. But growing up in church was really just me going to church because my family went to church, is what we did. And so as much as I definitely enjoyed the singing and playing tambourine and those type of things, it was just something that we did. And I didn't have a specifically personal connection to church. And at one point in time, when I was 12 years old, I was in a service, and granted, I had heard messages about salvation before, but that day something was just different. Mm-hmm. And when I got the message, it was very simple, nothing over the top or anything like that. And I just recognized through the message, the pastor said that if you're not saved, you can't be with the Lord. And it just struck me so much that day. And I knew from that moment I needed to be saved. And so I decided then to accept Jesus Christ, and I got saved.
Amen. Amen. And I remember I met you in church.
Yep.
I was 16 years old, and there's a bunch of young people, and we always hung out together. Mm-hmm. And that's how our relationship started to formulate, right? We were friends, we became lovers, and...
Wait, hold on. Wait one second. Yeah, we were friends, and then we became closer friends.
Yes.
And then we, you know, started talking to each other more strongly, and eventually got engaged, and then we got married, and then we became lovers.
All
just so that we're clear on the succession of how that occurred.
Sorry, yes, I stand corrected, Minister Harper. Thank you for clarifying that. But yeah, I will allow you just to take the reins, and the next voice that you hear will be Daniel Harper. So go ahead, babe, and just share your exhortation today.
Thank you so much. Before I get into it, I definitely want to say thank you for all of those who have continued to listen and support my wife in this great endeavor that she's taken on. She's done such an amazing job with it, and you guys have been a very significant part of that, helping her, supporting her, letting her know that, you know, you're receiving what she's saying. And it's just been great to watch her do her thing. And I'm just so happy at how things have been going. And I know that this season is going to be a wonderful one that is going to be filled with encouraging words from friends that we have, men and women of God who just love him and just have a desire to be a blessing to all of you. And so I'm so happy to be privileged to kind of kick that off. So let's get right into it. Today, we're going to be dealing with Psalm 23, and I entitled it The Lord, Shepherd and Host. Psalms 23 is one that I think is pretty common to many people. It's one of the Psalms that people learn when they are young, probably in Sunday school, or I don't know if those of you might remember the golden text and maybe playing games, doing your Bible verses and things of that nature. People would generally gravitate to Psalm 23 because it's an easy one that they can do while they're playing Bible walk and those type of things, for those of you who might remember
that. I remember that.
So yeah, it's just one of those Psalms that people learn growing up, and just for, on a personal note, it's always been a comforting reminder of God's grace in my life. Mm-hmm. So while many people have the Lord as shepherd being the main focus of the Psalm, I think there's a slight change to the text that many people would also say switches to a different analogy that addresses the Lord. So not only as the shepherd, but also as a host in a home. Both of the analogies of the shepherd and the host pretty much come to the same conclusion in verse 6, which is to highlight the great care that the Lord shows for his people and what he has in store for us as well. Considering that we all have times in our lives where we might feel that things are just not working out for us, those times we have low moments and feel isolated, confused, depressed, or many other feelings that we might experience, I think it's crucial for us to draw back to the Word of God and scriptures like this one, just so that we can be reminded of the love of God and the benefits that we receive in having a relationship with him. So with that being said, let's go further into our session for today. Now, the psalm opens with David calling the Lord his shepherd. David's history as a shepherd makes him intimately aware of the role a shepherd plays, and that qualifies him in attributing such a term to the Lord. If we go back to 1 Samuel 16, that's the story where Samuel is been told by God to go to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as the new king. And while we read through that scripture and Samuel goes through all the brothers, then he eventually asks the father, are there any more? Because God says, all these brothers that you've seen are not the one. And the father says to Samuel, there is one more, but he is feeding the sheep. That's where we're introduced to David eventually and his acts in the role of being a shepherd. And then the next chapter over, as a matter of fact, in chapter 17, we have David and giving his story to Saul about being a shepherd and defending the sheep. And he was using this as example to try to convince Saul to let him fight Goliath. That's where he speaks about the fact that a lion came to steal one of the sheep and he fought off and killed the lion. A bear later on came to try to steal one of the sheep, and he fought off and killed the bear. And he goes on to say that the same way that God was with me with the lion and the bear is the same way that he'll be with me with Goliath. But we just want to highlight and see that this role as a shepherd. So what we know is that David understands what it means to take care of sheep. He knows what it means to protect sheep. He knows all that it entails to be a shepherd, and he uses this analogy to describe the Lord. It is the Lord that is the shepherd. The name Lord is Yahweh. This is the name that God identifies himself to Israel as, Israel being his covenant people. When we see the use of the word Lord in scripture, the capital letters L-O-R-D, it is full of meaning for Israel. Too much to really get into, but a couple things we want to take a look at. As mentioned, it is the name of the God to which they specifically are in covenant relationship with. Going further, this is the God who is the creator of the universe. Everything that exists is due to him, and that is who they're in covenant relationship with. This is the God who spoke to and gave promises to their forefathers, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these promises at this point have been fulfilled in the children of Israel. This is the God who brought their ancestors out of Egypt with a mighty hand, proving himself to be greater than any person and to be the God above every other God that is conceived. And for Egypt, you know, you had the Pharaoh who was considered a God himself, or the very plagues that Egypt went through, as an example, the Nile that turns to blood, the river Nile. The Nile was a God that was celebrated and worshipped. But the true and living God, Yahweh, the Lord, he proved himself to be over and above any conception of a God, and even Pharaoh thinking himself to be God for Israel, his people. This is the same God that guided them through the wilderness and into the promised land, which David eventually was made king of. It's this Lord, his Lord, that he sees such attributes in by calling him the shepherd. He is looking at the creator of the universe, the sustainer, the provider, the God above everything, the one that leads and guides and directs. This is what he's looking at, those attributes, those stories that he's heard and he's aware of. He recognizes and correlates it to the Lord calling him the shepherd. And he isn't just a shepherd. It's not just a generic, impersonal statement being made by David. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is a personal element to this term. It's a term of endearment, and considers the direct connection between David and the Lord. And because of this direct connection, David says, I shall not want. If we were to reword that and to kind of get a better sense of what he's saying, we would say it like this: I have everything that I need. I'm lacking nothing. I'm in want of nothing. And when you have a creator of the universe who's on your side, the one who is the sustainer of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke light in the midst of darkness, the one that created everything out of nothing, what can you be in need of? That's the God David wants to convey is his shepherd. And that is the God we have an assurance in, no matter where we find ourselves in our daily lives. David goes on to mention the green pastures in which the Lord as a shepherd leads him as a sheep. This speaks to the calm and restful place that the shepherd leads the sheep to, whether that is to eat or just to get some rest. And he also leads them to the water to get some refreshment. Once again, this is speaking to the leadership of the shepherd to find avenues of comfort for the sheep. The shepherd goes ahead of them and finds the places that are of use to them for their sustenance and rest, which leads to the restoration of their soul. Now, David uses this word nephesh for soul. We find this word nephesh in Genesis chapter number 2, where the Bible says that man became a living soul. This is after God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. And then it says, with that combination, became a living soul. He also uses the word shub for restore. And that refers to a return or to bring back. Our soul is indicative of our lives. And David is saying that God operates as a shepherd to lead us in our lives in a way that brings life back into us. What a pleasure it is for us to know that though we have things in our life that may cause difficulty, where we feel stressed, and a host of other feelings, the God that we are connected to is there in our lives to give life to us when we feel lifeless. When we feel diminished, he brings us to a place of increase. And this he does for his name's sake. God invites us to be part of the glory that is brought to his name. Wow. When others see what is happening with us and how things are working out for us, we have an opportunity to share that it's because of our God, our shepherd, that we are where we are and are blessed the way that we're blessed. This is more encapsulated in the fourth verse where David says that in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is also there. This phrase points to areas of difficulty that would otherwise be a problem for us on our own. Yet we're not alone. The shepherd is not only leading us to those difficult areas, but through them as well. He's capable of maneuvering through those areas that look troublesome to reinforce his power and ability to preserve his people, the sheep. And how does he do this? He does this by using the rod and the staff, where David says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And the rod and the staff are symbols of protection and direction. He leads us through these spaces and protects us in these spaces. This is why it's so important that God be the one leading our paths. We can't do it on our own, and how often have we proven that very fact in trying to do things on our own and always coming up failing? How many times have we hurt ourselves because we try to lead our own lives? But we have our God who knows exactly what we need, and he is wanting to show us his greatness and love for us as we follow him as sheep do the shepherd. Now, the imagery changes to that of a host in verse number 5. One of the things that is important for us to understand is the significance of hospitality in the ancient Near East, which is the setting that the Bible is written in. It was extremely disrespectful for one not to be a good host and to not have things prepared for people who may drop by for various reasons. And David says that the Lord prepares a table before him in the middle, in the presence of his enemies. This shows that the enemies are subject to the one who runs the house. And guess what? You're the house guest. While you're there, they're there as well. But there's nothing that they can do to you because you're under the protection of the person who runs the home. This is another example of the type of protection received by the one who is connected to the Lord. Our God is ruler over everything, and there is nothing that can come against us because we are connected to him. It goes on to say that the host also anoints his head with oil. Now, if we read about being anointed, we will see in the scriptures where the priests, they were anointed, the kings, they were also anointed. And so anointing typically is associated with those who are going to be serving in a certain capacity. Thus, the anointing being mentioned here is related to that same idea. I like what a gentleman by the name of Victor P. Hamilton said as I was looking through and just getting prepared for this particular lesson. And he makes a point about the acts of the host that I want to share. He says, the implication of the psalmist then is that God not only entertains him and protects him, but also treats him royally. If we are allowed to state colloquially, God is giving me the red carpet treatment. This shows the value that God places on us over those around us who would desire no good for us. He spreads out that red carpet that we could be standing on. He treats us royally. He treats us as those with capacity to serve because he recognizes and values us in such to that degree. And finally, David says that goodness and mercy shall follow him. This is to say that the goodness and mercy of God will always be with him. Why is this? Simply because he is connected as a sheep to the shepherd, that is the Lord. Simply because he is the preferred guest of the house of that host. And the world is that house to which the Lord is our host. And being in such relationship with the Lord provides security for him, having an everlasting dwelling place where the Lord is. And so this serves as a reminder to us that as a people who follow God, placing our complete trust in him, we get to experience his goodness, love, grace, mercy, and so much more.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that encouraging and strong reminder that the Lord is our shepherd. And because of that, that we don't lack anything. Because we are connected to him, there's nothing that we should want. So thank you for that reminder today. And can you just do us the honor and close us out in prayer?
Thank you so much, and it definitely would be my pleasure. We're going to go ahead and pray now. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for this privilege and this opportunity to share in this encouraging word. We thank you, first and foremost, that you are the one who inspires and writes the words that we can read and reflect to understand how it is that you want us to live our lives to the honor and the glory of your name. And as we've reflected today on Psalm 23, we ask you to help us to understand the more what it means to be a sheep to you, our shepherd. What it means that you value us as one of your guests, as you are our host in this whole world. We've seen, Lord, that you protect, that you provide, that you secure space for your people, that you are always available for them. And Lord Jesus, help us to be mindful of that we will never rely and depend on our own abilities, our own awareness, Lord God, but that you will always be the first and the foremost for us, that we will never try to do anything and to make movements without you being the one that's leading and directing us. Because we know, Lord Jesus, whether through experiences that we've had, through experiences that we've seen, through the words that we've read in the scripture, that when people don't follow after you, trouble tends to find them. Difficulties tend to surround them. But Lord, when you are there, trouble might still be around, but it's a way for you to show that you're above and beyond that, and that you have the ability to keep and sustain and to bring your people through it, to show them the more how much you care for them and how great you are in their lives. Let somebody see your greatness. Let somebody experience your glory. Today, Lord, we want to submit ourselves to your will. And we thank you for your grace and your love and your care that you continue to show us. Bless us right now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you again for joining me on my podcast. I'm truly encouraged and for the word that you share today. And I know that our listeners will be encouraged as well. So with that being said, thank you everyone for tuning in. Have a wonderful week. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey friend, thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really do feel special. Let's do this again. See you next week.